CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you, as we always are, every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events through a biblical perspective, as well as what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? If you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. We got some lines open. You can be part of the program today. And you know, sometimes when someone asks you a question and you want to give them a good answer, well, that's why we like to be here for you, help you out, because we count it as a real joy to do that. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker that comes on after To Every Man an Answer, we have with us Jeff Wickwire from Turning Point Church, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Mike. Good to be with you today. Looking forward always to a great show, as always.
I look forward to being with you and all the crazy things. So did you see the World Court out trying to arrest Bibi Netanyahu now for war crimes? I mean, are these people, have they just, I guess legalizing marijuana has really had an effect because they have no brain left. I cannot believe how stupid when your country is invaded. They steal hostages, put babies in ovens, decapitate people in the street, and you retaliate and you're a war criminal. These people are gone. Oh, friends, gone off the deep end. I feel bad for them. Again, no call for Hamas to surrender. None whatsoever. We know it's all biased and crooked.
It reminds me, Mike, of where Jesus said that iniquity would abound in the last days. Love of many will grow cold. But the idea of iniquity abounding means lawlessness would abound. That's the meaning of iniquity, lawless. When you just, there's no law, you are your own law, or you are whatever you decide law is. And as far as the laws of God, laws of morality that he put in place, or decency, common sense, the laws that God branded into his creation, there is just this universal rebellion against those laws now. And we're just looking at just brazen, I don't care what you think anymore. I don't care what you do with this anymore. I'm taking the mask off. I'm coming right out in the open in my lawlessness, and I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. And that's what we're seeing everywhere from the border, the open border, to, you know, what they have done against President Trump, lawless. You know, they call it lawfare instead of warfare. And that's what they have executed against Trump, just lawfare. They've weaponized the law to go against him in a way that if they had done this to a good leftist liberal, every newspaper, every headline in the country would be screaming that this was not right or fair or lawful. But since it's Trump, they can do it. And
they declared Joe Biden to be mentally incompetent to stand trial for his crime. Now, this is from Democratic judges. And he's mentally incompetent, everybody, been declared that way, yet he can run for president and remain as president. Why isn't this on the front of MSNBC or all the other news outlets? President declared mentally incompetent is not required to step down and be challenged for his obvious crimes. Oh, but this is all swept under the rug. And what about the cocaine in the White House? And what about all of the other crimes concerning China money? All swept under the carpet. But yet we've got to make up laws to incriminate somebody that really wasn't guilty. You know, it's interesting when Stalin took over Russia, he passed so many laws immediately that you could be arrested for anything. You'd be walking down the street. I read books on this. You'd walk down the street and the police had come and arrest you because you broke some law, new law, whisk away to a gulag where you were never heard of again. Anybody that was considered to be against their system, that's what they did. And so they weaponized the laws of the land. Well, welcome to communist America now. And this is what you get. You know, like I tell everybody, if they do this to a president, ex-president, let me tell you something. None of us are safe. And again, unless you're an illegal alien in the United States, as an American citizen, you really don't have any rights anymore. And that's a tragedy. It really is. Let's go to the phones. We have Caleb on the line, Texas.
Hi, y'all. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
Well, I just had a question. The Book of Enoch. And I'm just trying to get some ammo. I'm going to talk with some guys tomorrow from work. And they both have accepted the Book of Enoch as, like, at best historical, but at worst part of the Bible. And I'm trying to get some ammo to share, you know, just why it's a total just garbage. But they're both convinced it's not. So I just was wondering if you could give me some.
Sure. Your thoughts, Jeff.
Yeah. The Book of Enoch is not the Book of Enoch. That is, Enoch didn't write it. And it's so easy to come to that conclusion because you got to remember Enoch was way back in the dawn of time. That's
before
when he
the
lived.
Flood.
Before the flood. And he was, I think, the great-grandfather of Noah, something like that. He was, so he goes way back to the beginning. If he had written it, we've got to remember there was only one language on the earth. And after the flood, that language was, or after the Tower of Babel, that language was gone. So who could have possibly have translated such a book if the real Enoch had written it? Secondly, it would have to have been brought on the ark and preserved for post-ark civilization. And there is no evidence whatsoever that Noah took anything on the ark like that, but animals to every kind. So we know that there was no book from Enoch the ark or that survived after the ark. But even more than that, the Book of Enoch was written in the intertestamental period. That means between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and right along with the Apocrypha. And the Book of Enoch has never been accepted as canon or as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus never quoted it. The apostles never quoted it. And I know what some are going to say, but Jude quoted it. Well, did Jude really quote it? I don't think that he... No, it doesn't say that he did. You know, let's remember the New Testament writers were being moved by the Holy Spirit. They prophesied by the Holy Spirit. They gave doctrine by the moving of the Holy Spirit. So being led by and moved by the Holy Spirit, it would have been very easy for the Holy Spirit to reveal to Jude that Enoch prophesied that the coming of the Lord with all of his saints. The Lord comes with all of his saints. And so people like to say that Jude was quoting the Book of Enoch, but no, there's no evidence of that at all. So I think the only existing church that does consider the Book of Enoch canonical is the Coptic Church in Ethiopia, which is about as, you know, out there as you could get. So no, there's all kinds of evidence, Caleb, that it's not inspired. It's never been considered inspired. And just like Jesus and the apostles never quoted the Apocrypha, they never quoted Enoch either. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, the Book of Enoch claims there were 4,500-foot giants born from human women. This is found in the Book of Enoch, chapter 7, states that the giants were 4,500 feet tall. You want to know what else is wrong with it? We just read along. The Book of Enoch claims women became mythical creatures. This is found in Enoch 19:2, claims the mother of the giants became half bird with half humans, half creatures.
And you know, Mike, the book of
Enoch.
Saying,
I'm just going to read some of these. It says, okay, the book of Enoch claims all sin in the world is from Azazel, not from Adam. Again, crazy stuff. It goes against the Bible.
Yeah.
The book of Enoch claims archangels made human righteousness, made humanity righteous, not Jesus. That's Enoch 40, verses 9 and 10. The book of Enoch claims heavenly children will become one with the children of men. Doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible, but the book of Enoch, chapter 39, verse 1. The book of Enoch claims sinners will be evicted from the mansions of heaven. Well, the problem is they're not going to be there in the first place. That's in Enoch 41:2. The book of Enoch claims God requires the blood of the righteous. This is Enoch 47:4. The book of Enoch claims God will pick the righteous and the holy from out of hell. Wow. Enoch 51 verses 1 and 2. The book of Enoch claims angels built the ark. Yeah, the one that Noah was in. This is found in Enoch 67 verse 2. The book of Enoch teaches Greek mythology as godly knowledge. This is found again, and this is why we know the book was not written by Enoch, because the Greeks weren't around then. But this is found in chapter 79 and 80, verse 1. I'm just reading some of these because, you know, a lot of people, the book of Enoch claims Noah had laser beam eyes. According to the book, it says, again, chapter 106, verses 2 through 6. Jesus never quoted from the book of Enoch, nor anywhere else. There was a saying that Enoch had said that had been around forever. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints in the book of Jude. But that is not necessarily quoting the book of Enoch. And the book of Enoch may very well included that verse in some way to give it some kind of credibility. But the Bible never makes any quotes from the book of Enoch.
I would add, Mike, real quick, that we've gotten calls here often about the Nephilim and the sons of God. Supposedly the angels having relations with earthly women and producing the giant race. In my studies, I trace that teaching to the book of Enoch. Book of Enoch is where that particular belief system seems to have originated. And of course, here on To Every Man an Answer, we don't agree with that. We don't believe that angels had sexual relations with earthly women. It's talking about the lineage of Seth as the sons of God, not renegade angels. So that comes from Enoch, so the book of Enoch. So it's filled with fairy tales, fables, myths, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, junk then, junk now. Hope that helps, Caleb.
It does. Really thankful, and just want to say thank you guys for standing up and speaking out.
So, well, God is good. And again, there's so much of the book of Enoch that refutes the Bible. And the things that are in the book of Enoch are so ridiculous. 4,500-foot giants born from women? I mean, logically, it just doesn't make any sense either. So, Caleb, stay in line. Send you some things I hope you'll really like. God of Wonders, Evolution versus God, several other books we've got, DVDs. Stay online. We'll get those out to you. I know it'll be a blessing for you. If you need us, we're here for you. Let's go to Gary, Delphine, Alabama. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Pastor Mike and Pastor Jeff. Always a pleasure to speak to you. Just calling to get some clarification. I was listening to one of my favorite CSM pastors this morning, and he was talking from one of your favorite passages, the book of Matthew 24:36-42, talking about the rapture, and where it says, about the two men will be left in the field. One will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken to the left. I just wanted to clarify what he said was the one that would be left would be the one that would be with Jesus. I've just always thought that the ones that were taken would be taken up to be with Jesus. I just didn't know.
Why would there be beds in heaven? Why would you be at a mill in heaven? Doesn't mean make any sense. No, I got to completely disagree with that. And you know, the Bible says that two women will be grinding at the mill. And the one looks at the other. I just feel like running away. No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about a immediate departure. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, it's when Jesus comes in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, sound of the last trump, the dead in Christ will rise first, and after, those that remain and are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. The idea is that there's going to be believers right next to unbelievers. It pictures in Luke's gospel a man and wife asleep in bed. One is taken, the other left. Then the one already quoted, two women out in the field working, one taken, the other left. The idea is, and I have to think again of where Jesus taught that the wheat and the tares would grow right up next to each other. The wheat being true believers, the tares being fake or phony believers, people that look like believers, which tares do, they look like real wheat until they're full grown. So the idea being that the wheat and the tares are going to grow right up next to each other, and the Lord himself and the elect angels are the only ones who will be able to truly separate the two and show which was real and which wasn't. So that's what's happening here. One is taken and the other is left. And there you go. And that's the whole idea behind left behind. And so it's a teaching that makes you want to be real certain that you know Christ really and truly. And you're not somebody that is religious who thinks that they're saved because they go to church or they do good things for people, or their parents were good Christians, or they were raised in a Christian home. No, none of that. Because if you don't truly know him, you're in the terror category. And that category is very dangerous. That's the five virgins that when the bridegroom returns, five had oil, five of the 10 virgins had oil, and five didn't. And it was eternally too late for the five that didn't. So same idea, this separation of the true from the false. And that's what's happening here in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. Jesus is teaching, you better be sure that you really know him. Mike?
Yeah, and something else really unique about this is that it's interesting. Some will be grinding at the mill. That's something you do in the middle of the day. Others will be asleep in bed. What better way in the Bible can you describe the different time zones around the world than that? And I think that is such an amazing thing that the Bible even goes into depth saying some will be sleeping one side of the world, some will be working on the other side of the world, and they're just going to depart. Hope that helps, Gary.
It does. Thank you so much. That's what I've always believed. So when I heard something that sounded a little different, I just wanted to make sure for myself.
Yeah, I've heard stuff on that, and when you read the context, I don't see how you can read it any other way. Stay online. Send you out some books, DVDs, 101 Last Days Prophecies. We'll get out to you. And Gary, God bless you. Thanks so much. And keep witnessing, keep sharing your faith. Let's go to Conrad, Montana. Hi, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, pastors, for all you do. It's such a great ministry, and I really appreciate it. My question regards the spiritual gifts described in 1 Corinthians 12, and there seems to be a theological debate within the Christian church whether these gifts ceased with the death of the apostles or whether they continue on in today's world. It certainly seems that some of the gifts have continued, like speaking in tongues and certain healings, but the gift of prophecy seems complete as further revelations would add to God's word, and I question people who self-proclaim as modern-day prophets or apostles. And do you believe these gifts ceased with the apostles, or do they continue on today? And is any of this related to the belief that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead also resides within each believer?
Wow. Well, first of all, yes, the Holy Spirit is alive and well on the planet Earth. Remember this, the miracle gifts did not start in Acts chapter 2. They're all the way through the Bible. And why we have to understand this is if they're all the way through the Bible, signs and wonders follow those that believe, why would they end in the last chapter of the book of Acts or when scripture was canonized? And so it doesn't logically make any sense. Now, when we look at the different gifts, we look at the gifts that Moses had. Now, you talk about prophesying. The word prophesying can mean several different things, but primarily it means to foretell. A lot of times we think prophesying is just foretelling, but it means to foretell or speak under the anointing of God things concerning the kingdom. And I believe that gift is still very much alive today, and I also believe that at times the real gift of prophecy to warn Christians about something that's going to happen is alive and well. Now, again, we remember Agabus prophesied concerning Paul's outer garment. We also remember he prophesied concerning a famine. I believe those gifts still work today. We remember Paul said that, leaving on the ship is not going to end well. It didn't, just as he said. I believe that that is still alive and well in the churches today. The problem is, I believe most people don't live close enough to the edge to need the gifts of the Spirit. Now, let me explain that a little bit more. Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. Are any of us living on a daily basis where death is an absolute threat for today? Most of us know, unless you have a health condition. But you know, if you're a missionary in a very hostile area in the world, and there's a lot of them, you don't know if you're going to see the sunset. I believe those people especially need the gifts of the Spirit in a way that probably most of us as American Christians don't see. So I do know that they're alive, they're working. Anybody that teaches they ceased with the apostle, they absolutely slaughter a verse in the Bible. It says, that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. Oh, see, the gifts are in part. Oh, that which is perfect is come. That's the Bible. No, it doesn't say that. And by the way, that which is perfect is come, speaking of Jesus Christ, when he comes, we won't need the gifts of the Spirit. We'll be in his presence. But to say that that which is perfect has come is speaking about the Bible when it was fully canonized, that one day you could be healed of sickness and diseases, and then after everybody voted and we have the 66 books of the Bible the next day, nope, no more healing. That's over. I don't believe that. It didn't start in the book of Acts chapter 2. It didn't end in the last chapter of the book of Acts. It's all the way through the Bible. Look at the miracles that Elijah did. Now, when you ask, well, what was the power that raised Christ from the dead? That's the Spirit of God that's in him. Now, I don't know that we need the Spirit of God to raise us from the dead, but I do know that we find miracles where God used the apostles to raise people from the dead, just as Jesus did. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and, Conrad's unfortunate regarding prophecy. I do agree. Prophecy means either foretell or foretell. And I think that a lot of the time when the book of Acts and the epistles are talking about prophesying, they're just talking about people who were preaching an inspired message, which is one of the meanings of prophecy in the Greek language. It was to foretell, to tell forth the truth of God. So there's that. And when it comes to apostles and prophets in our day, unfortunately, there's a lot of counterfeit stuff out there. And, you know, I hate to address it. I don't like having to address it as often as I do. But social media has given false prophets such a platform. And they get on there with thousands, some of them tens of thousands of followers. And they prophesy things that never come to pass. They never happen. And unfortunately, the people following them forget about the failed prophecy 2 days later. And before long, they're prophesying again. And that turns out to be false. The problem with that is it leads people astray and it causes some people to even give up on the faith. Well, if the prophecy was false, then this whole thing is phony baloney and I've just been in something that's not true. So when you prophesy in the name of God, in the name of Christ, that's a very heavy thing, especially if it's future, if it's predictive. If you're prophesying something predictive, you better be right. Because if it's not right, it really causes a lot of damage. Personal prophecy over people, you know, you're going to go here, you're going to go there, you're going to be rich, you're going to all these things. And when the personal prophecies don't happen, and I'm not saying they never do, but I'm saying a lot of the time they don't, then that person is really left floundering with all kinds of questions. And we're coming up on a break and we'll come back and address this a little bit longer, Conrad, because this is a really important topic. Mike?
Yeah, because so many churches say, oh, the miracle ceased with the apostles. No, he didn't. No. Holy Spirit's alive and well on the planet Earth. Coming up on that break, we'll have a whole lot more for you right after this. We'll be right back.
Preborn is making Mother's Day possible 280,000 times and more.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Preborn's network of clinics rescues 200 babies every day by introducing mothers to their preborn babies. You see, when a woman considering abortion meets her precious baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life. To learn more about their life-saving work, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
We want to welcome you back to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer with Jeff Wickwire, pastor of the church in Dallas-Fort Worth. And again, Jeff, your program is such a blessing that we have here on the, Hardwired with you and ministering to people. And so I just really want to say thank you for being part of the CSN family, CSN team. And God bless you.
Thank you. It's a blessing.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the phones we have with us as we went to the break. Conrad, and Jeff, you were saying.
Yeah, and Conrad, I'm not trying to rain on the real thing because there is the real thing. There's real prophecy, foretelling, and some foretelling, but mainly foretelling in the New Covenant. Just what I see, there's people all over the world that constantly preach the word under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Preach the gospel. That's prophecy as much as anything. The testimony of Jesus, it says in Revelation, is the spirit of prophecy. So the spirit of prophecy is to testify of Jesus. It is a day, however, we need to have on our discernment caps, because a lot of things passing for prophecy out there is really not, because the prophecies, the foretelling, the future telling, the predictive prophecies, really, constantly, a lot of them, I hate to say the majority of them, I don't know, but I know a bunch of them fail. And when they do, it hurts people, and that's my only concern about it. But does God still heal? Yes. Does he still give wisdom? Yes. Does he still, is the gift of tongues still valid? Yes. The gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 are alive and well. They did not go away with the completion of the canon or with the death of the last apostle, who would have been John. That's just, you can't substantiate that anywhere in church history. I've seen people healed dramatically by prayer, and I myself, I believe for people to be healed all the time. Anoint them with oil, and we believe God for the healing. So hope that helps, Conrad.
Yeah, it sure does. That really explained it well, and I appreciate both of you on your teachings and stuff. I respect that. So thank you very much.
Well, God bless you. And again, I attended a church for many years that did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And they believed in Jesus, but they just said miracles ceased with the apostles. And I got to say, it was pretty dead. The church was pretty dead. And I'm not saying people are swinging around on chandeliers or running down the aisles or waving banners or, blowing shofars or anything like that. What I'm talking about, it was just going through the motions is the best way. And, the Bible says the Spirit gives life. And I'll tell you, there's nothing better than to a good old heavy dose of the Holy Spirit for anybody that's having a Christian experience that's doldrum. And God's not called us to live that way. He said, I give you life and that more abundantly. And yet, so many times people, and I think when we tell people the Holy Spirit died with the apostles, I think it does offend the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying they're not Christians. I'm just saying that, man, it really, really, I think stifles any move miraculously in that church of God doing something supernatural. I have seen people healed. I have seen the word of knowledge. God is still in the miracle working business. It's never changed. Oh yeah, there are the phonies that are out there, such as a word of knowledge, like God has just shown me in a church service, there are skeptics in the back row. Well, that's usually where skeptics sat. That isn't some giant revelation there. But when a person that's preaching stops and looks at a person in the crowd who he's never met before, or several people, and starts calling out things in their life, not to embarrass them, but I remember one time in our church, this brother had this gift of the word of knowledge. He looked at this guy and said, you've been praying about your son. If he's ever going to get saved, I want you to know that God is working on him, and you keep praying for him. That guy didn't know he had a son or anything else. Then he looked at this guy and he said, you come up here. And this guy, probably about 24, 5 years old, come walking down the aisle. And he looked at him and said, God has followed you all over the world. And he goes, yes, in the military in Germany, I know God's been calling me to repent. He said, are you going to repent or are you going to die? And he goes, I'm going to repent. And the guy asked the Lord in his life. The guy went on to be in Bible college. Just supernatural thing. Yes, God's in the miracle working business, man. And don't at anybody, no group, no denomination. You know, I was raised in that church that believed that the miracle ceased with the apostles. And reading the Bible on my own, I came to Hebrews 13:8. And it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Got to thinking about that. And I realized if God was in the miracle working business before Jesus came and during Jesus coming, and then to his apostles and people that followed in his footsteps after he came, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can rest in that. Conrad, God bless you. Stay in line. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. I think you'll enjoy, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Juanita, Fort Bragg, California. Hi, welcome.
Oh, did you say Juanita?
I did.
You cut out a little bit. Okay, my voice is really bad because I'm sick, but as usual. But I was going to tell you, Mike, that when I was listening to you and Jeff, I totally agree with you. I didn't know the Book of Enoch said 4,000-something feet tall. People, I was laughing so hard, I just couldn't hardly breathe. And I agree with you. I didn't know, but I do know of somebody, and I won't say any names, and other people that have told me, why don't you read the Book of Enoch? Because it's not canonized, but it's really interesting, and it should be in there. And I thought, I think the Maccabees, if anything, maybe could have been in the canon more than what you just said. I thought it was hilarious. You could be a comedian.
Oh, it's kooky stuff. The reason the church fathers, they recognize it as it was a fraud back then. They usually attribute that book written about 800 B.C., and it was a book that was circulated, but the problem with it, the doctrine is so contrary to the rest of the Bible. This is obviously why it was left out. And also because the authorship really is unknown, because we know that it was not Enoch that wrote it. So Jeff, any other thoughts on that?
No, it's Disney World. It's Aesop's fables. You could put it right in there with Greek mythology. It's the same kind of thing.
So hope that helps.
Yeah,
do you
Mike,
have a question?
Can I ask you something else?
Sure.
Mike? Okay, yeah, I was going to tell Jeff also that I agree with him that one time I went as far as this prophetic business going on all these false, you know, lying signs and wonders, I went to a church fellowship, and I went because a friend of mine asked me to go. They were literally babbling in all these different languages and crying and laughing and rolling around on the carpet.
Yeah,
I thought, what in the world is going on in here? Then I went
to
the
fellowship. Holy Spirit.
Oh my gosh, it was horrible the way they were doing this stuff and rolling around. And I thought, what? And I went to another fellowship up by Chico, and I won't say the name of that one. And it was Hispanic, and they were playing heavy metal music up on the stage and just bouncing and jumping up and down. There weren't any scriptures read. And this one Hispanic lady put her hand on her chest, and she fell on the floor. And some of the so-called, I guess they were elders, they came and lifted her up. And I thought they should be calling an ambulance. But they put her back in the chair, and I thought, I got to get out of here. But I told my friend, okay, she invited me. The only good thing about that fellowship was when we had lunch afterwards. But anyway, my comment to you was, it has to do with Yucky Hamas, which, you know, they'll be judged. But there are some good people in Israel that don't want war. There are some good people that are Palestinian that are hiding out. And I heard these women that were Palestinian on the radio saying, why is God allowing this to happen? That I just lost my whole family. They got blown up in the house. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I feel sorry for both sides, you know.
Because it's terrible. War is awful, dear, very quickly. But here's the thing you have to remember. The Palestinians voted Hamas in as their government. What their governing forces were that started the war with Israel. Now, you have to remember, when you vote, there are consequences in voting. We're all paying such a terrible price right now with the inflation and gas, two times the price it was 3.5 years ago. Worst inflation since 1948. Nobody wants the American dollar because our current administration won't stop giving away free money. This is where all the BRICS new world currency is coming from. And you think things are expensive now. Wait till they completely abandon the American dollar, which forces us then, America, to buy BRICS in order to buy the products that we all enjoy, like from China and everywhere else in the world. You see, because we have a printing press out of control right now. It's interesting, in the last month, the price of silver is almost went up $10 an ounce, maybe a little less than that, but it's staggering right now. I think this morning it was at $32 an ounce. A month ago it was like $23 an ounce. So when you look at this, you realize that people are scared to death of a dollar that's not tied to anything. It's called fiat money. That means there's no real intrinsic value in a piece of paper with a dollar or $100 written on it. It's what the government says it's worth. Well, this is dangerous because back when your money was made out of real silver or real gold, or even for that matter, even a penny had a penny's worth of copper in it. Do you realize a penny today, a real copper penny made before 1980, I think, or 81, is worth about almost 4 cents now? That's right. Because our money that we have in our pockets are just slugs. And that's a dangerous place to be because they then dictate. Thomas Jefferson says, I fear inflation and deflation, the manipulation of banks more than any invading army. Because it wipes out your savings, it wipes out your heritage, your inheritance, wipes out everything. And so we're all experiencing that right now. And the news media is so dishonest. They go, inflation only went up 3% last month. Well, that's 3% on top of 20% from the last part of January of 2021. So we're at about 23, 24% interest right now. We're in real serious trouble because we're over $34 trillion in debt now. No country in the history of the world combined has been this far in debt.
Inconceivable.
A debt that can never be repaid. And when you listen to Joe Biden, we're going to spend our way out of debt. Well, you know, if that happens, you figured out something that nobody in the history of humanity ever found or figured out. It doesn't happen, friends. And when you're out buying votes, like paying college students loans off, or like in Chicago, just giving people cash for just living in their city, how long do you think the people that are still working in America are going to put up with that? And see, this is where the problems come from. And this is the end of any government when people figure out, hey, I can vote myself in free stuff. Well, always in communism promises everything, and when they take everything you have, that's the result. Any government that promises everything you ever wanted will take everything you ever had. Have you heard this slogan by the Democrat Communist Party? In 10 years, you will own nothing and be happy. Right out of Karl Marx's book. Well, you see, people that work, they have a right to what they've earned. But stealing it in the name of government through taxes? Wow. Jeff, your thoughts.
Yeah, and Juanita, back to your question about the Israelites and Palestinians. I know that there are innocent people on both sides, innocent Palestinians, you know, and there's no doubt Christian Palestinians. But you have to keep in mind on December 6th, 2023, did the Hamas warn the Israelites at that concert that they were coming? Of course not. It was a sudden attack.
Surprise attack.
Fully designed to slaughter them. And the atrocities that were done by Hamas are unspeakable. I can't even think about them very long because they're so troubling and deeply disturbing. They were inhumane. They were straight out of the pits of the lowest hell. So no, they didn't tell them they were coming. However, the Israelites, when they are attacking Gaza, various locations, various sectors, they send in warnings to the people to get out that they're about to attack. Nobody does that. I mean, Hamas would never in a million years do that. But the Israelites have done that in hopes of not killing as many innocent people as they can possibly avoid. But they have done that over and over again. And you have to be careful who you listen to, because the media, and if the media is for it, you can bet that if you're a conservative Christian, you're going to be against it. If the media is for it, if they are playing a violin for Hamas or for the Palestinians, if they're playing their violin and seeking to drum up sympathy for them and painting Israel as the devil, be real careful that you let them influence you, because that's what they do. Again, if the media, ABC, CBS, the alphabet networks, if MS, as Mike said, MS, what a mess. I call them MSLSD. If they and CNN and others are playing a violin for the Palestinians and the innocent and trying to get you to turn on Israel, be real careful with that, because they skew the news to their template and to their narrative. And their narrative is always going to be anti-Israel, anti-Christian, anti-Bible, anti-conservatism, you name it. If it's in any of those categories, they're going to be against them. So you have to be careful who has your ear. Little word of advice, a little bit of advice. I was in the media for a while, many, many moons ago. My minor in my bachelor's degree was journalism. I worked at a very well-known news station here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a while, and I know how they skew news. So do I trust them? No. I'm sorry, but I don't. I don't trust them because I've seen them skew it over and over again to fit their narrative. And so be careful what you listen to, who has your ear, and try your best to get news from a legitimate source, and to stand with Scripture, which is to stand not with all any wrongs Israel is doing, but to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because that is a command in Scripture, and I think we ought to always be doing that. And I pray for people everywhere. There are Palestinians that need the mercy and grace of God. I'm not against them. I am against the horrible ideology and terrorism of Hamas. That I'm against. But the people, the human beings, a lot of them have been brainwashed as much as anybody. So just remember that, Juanita, and I hope that helps.
Amen. I hope that helps, Juanita.
Yeah. You guys, I was going to tell you a question. That what do I do about this one person that I've been talking to on the phone with, and I'm about ready to just tell him to call a male pastor, because he told me something about, okay, so your friend used to be, I'm not going to say what agency, but it has to do with law enforcement, and I used to work with him. And so anyway, this guy on the telephone had told me, I mean, he smokes dope, he drinks a lot of wine, I hear him start to slur his words, and he said, I'm trying to counteract all this stuff that I'm doing with good, nutritious, organic food. And he said, but
well, that's another topic altogether. That's another topic completely. And, you might be onto something to turn them over to a male pastor. But
yeah, I believe that.
That's something completely different. And
and a lot of times, Juanita, they just want to talk to you being a girl or whatever they are. They got some other angle. But no, I would direct them to your local church, the pastor there. And And no, I really appreciate you calling. And stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. And again, so many things going on. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Stay online, Juanita. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Jim, Ilkare, Wisconsin. Hi, welcome.
Did you say Jim in Chippewa Falls?
Close enough. I said something else, but
it says Eau Claire or something like that.
Yeah, Eau Claire is what it says on the. Doesn't it say that?
Yeah. Eau Claire. Yeah.
Chippewa Falls is very close to Eau Claire. My question.
Eau Claire.
First, I wanted to give testimony to the caller before it was asking about miraculous healings, and I've had miraculous healings in my family, and I just wanted to give testimony to that. But my question is, I hear often, even on CSN radio, about the 144,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel that are mentioned first in Revelation 7, but nowhere do I read that they're evangelists or witnesses, but they're so often referred to as the 144,000 witnesses.
Well, we find this in Revelation 7:3, and I'll just read it for you. It says, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of God, of our God, on their foreheads. Now, servants of God would imply that they are in direct, under the orders of God during this time. And the purpose for the seal is, again, to identify them as spokesmen for God. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you find that again in Revelation 14. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Interesting little side note here that the devil wants to mark people on their foreheads, but that's only a counterfeit of how God marks his own. And here God is marking 144,000 Jews, 12,000 out of every one of the 12 tribes. And it says that they sing a new song before the throne. And importantly here, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And they're redeemed from among men. So while it doesn't say that they are like, say, 144,000 Jewish Billy Grahams, it does not say that. We can't say that it does because it doesn't. But you can assume that if they're totally sold out to Christ, like it says here, then they have to be witnesses. I don't know anybody sold out to Christ that doesn't witness. So we can safely assume that they are witnesses in the earth during the tribulation, 144,000 Jews, and that they do share their faith, or how are they sold out to Christ, like it says. But as far as them being official, you know, Ephesians 4, full-time, full-blown evangelists, it doesn't say that. But it does say that they walk with Christ, follow him wherever he goes. And so therefore, yeah, they probably, no doubt, share their faith wherever they go.
Yeah, and the point is that when we go, as an example, to 1 Corinthians 7:22, for instance, Paul says that we are servants of Christ and not merely domestic servants. We are actually employed by him to be about our Father's business. And so all the way through, when you find the terminology in the Bible concerning a servant, Paul, any of them, this idea is to be a representative of Christ here on this earth in servitude. So the words servant there, tied to the other verses in the New Testament that speak of a servant, always speak of people involved in evangelism, pastors, and et cetera. I hope that helps.
I think it's a stretch, you know, that we have to make a lot of assumptions there, but I see where you're going with it. But
well, otherwise, what does it mean? They're just servants. So what do they do? We're saved to do something. They're sealed to do something. And if you're serving God and knowing God is not without a witness, I would have to conclude based upon the rest of Scripture. Now, this is where we get into what the Bible, we talk about in Bible school, scriptural consistency. And when we find the word servant as an example in the New Testament, and you can look through, what were the servants doing that were involved to wear that name? They were evangelists. They were pastors, teachers,
witnesses.
So that's why we get it from there. Jim, hope that helps shed some light on it. If you like, stay online. We'll send you some books and DVDs. Brenda, the rest, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. So until then, may the Lord keep your heart safe and at peace. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh.
Or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.